North Rock Podcast.
Oh, hello. You're probably here about the story. Elves love to tell stories. I bet you didn't know that about elves. There's probably a lot of things you didn't know about elves. It's the profession that every elf aspires to, and that is to build toys in Santa's workshop.
Only 2 weeks left till Christmas.
It's a job only an elf can do. Our nimble fingers, natural cheer, and active minds are perfect for toy building. They tried using gnomes and trolls, but the gnomes drank too much, and the trolls weren't toilet trained. No human being has ever set foot in Santa's workshop. That is, until about 30 years ago.
We've had another very successful year. So, after all that hard work, it's time to start preparations for next Christmas. What in the name of Sam Hill is that? So, Santa had a decision to make. Fortunately, when it comes to babies, Santa's a pushover. So Buddy stayed with an older elf who had always wanted a child, but had been so committed to building toys, he had forgotten to settle down.
Santa!
Yes, I raised Buddy. Though Buddy grew twice as fast, he wasn't any different from the other children.
Not too fast, Buddy.
I mean, not really.
Now, before we learn how to build the latest in extreme graphic chipset processors, let's recite the code of the elves, shall we? Number one.
Treat every day like Christmas.
Number two.
There's room for everyone on the nice list.
Number three.
The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
And one day, when Buddy was old enough, I made him my own personal apprentice.
Never been in this room before.
Well, I think it's time you start your tinker training.
Santa's sleigh.
You're gonna help me make it fly.
I thought the magical reindeer made the sleigh fly.
And where did the reindeer get their magic from?
Christmas spirit. Everybody knows that.
Well, as silly as it sounds, a lot of people down south don't believe in Santa Claus.
What? Who do they think puts all their toys under the tree?
Well, there's a rumor floating around that the parents do it.
That's ridiculous. I mean, parents couldn't do that all in one night. What about Santa's cookies? I suppose parents eat them too?
Yeah, I know. I know. And every year, less and less people believe in Santa Claus. I mean, we have a real energy crisis on our hands.
Oh.
I mean, just see how low the clausometer is.
That's shocking.
That's shocking. Well, good morning, everyone. Happy to be with you this morning. I love the sound of all the rappers, people eating their popcorn this morning and at the movies. And I see that they've got you guys a few extra treats. How many of you guys associate Red Vines with going to the movies? I'm one of those, right? And I think the only thing that we're missing is that if we're going to have popcorn, we've got to have something to drink, right? So next week we'll have you something to drink. How about that? Well, I hope that you are enjoying this little mini-series called North Rock at the Movies, Finding Faith in Film, because we're going to be doing that for the next couple of weeks. But today I do have the distinct challenge of interpreting the movie Elf into a way that we can see themes of our faith and have that communicated to us in a way that we can understand and therefore interpret within our conversations with those maybe who don't believe just yet, right? How many of you guys have ever come into a place in your life where you began to doubt? Or run into somebody where conflict had allowed its way to seep in and it just started to erode a little bit of our trust and faith in God? That's what we're talking about today. So I hope that you'll be able to read between the lines as they've kind of handcuffed me. I got to be honest with you. Handcuffed me because of the length of the films. I've got to just kind of stick to my script. So this is probably the only interaction I'm going to have with you. Other than that, I'm going to be reading off of our script. But again, thank you for being here. I hope you enjoy this series. Let's pray, and then I'm going to read my part and get back on script. How about that? Well, Father, we do just thank you for this time. Thank you that you can speak to us in so many different modems, Lord, that you speak to us through people. You speak to us through your word. You speak to us through the praise and worship time. Lord, you speak to us through your creation. And so, Lord, today we ask you to speak to your people, Lord, that you would encourage our hearts from this film. And, Lord, we would truly grow in our faith while looking at this film. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So the movie opens with the story of Buddy the Elf, a human being raised in the world of elves. You can see the innocence of Buddy before he learned what the world was really all about. He had faith. He believed. He wasn't scarred or bitter. He lived a happy life. His world was full of joy. Kids are the same way. They're cute. They're trusting, believing, and innocent. And because of that, they have very few cares in the world. But as they grow up, they learn more, experience more, go through more, and that innocence can begin to fade away a little bit. It's happened to all of us here. We've gone from dependent and trusting to sometimes cynical, where we begin to question everything, and in many cases, even our own faith. The sad thing is that when we lose our innocence and simple faith, it robs us of joy, and it begins to separate us from that feeling of connection with God. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. He wasn't setting an age requirement for heaven. He was talking about the conditions of our hearts. In order to get into heaven, we, as Buddy, all have to have childlike faith. We have to believe again. But here's the thing. It's not that easy when we live in a world that constantly questions everything. That's what Buddy the Elf would discover when his childlike faith would be confronted by the realities of a world that doesn't believe in anything. Let's watch the second clip.
Okay. I'm sorry, Papa. Just need some alone time.
Buddy, I think we have to talk. Buddy, I think there's something I probably should tell you. You probably should have found out a long time ago. I then proceeded to tell Buddy of how his father had fallen in love when he was very young with a beautiful girl named Susan Wells, and how Buddy was born and put up for adoption by his mother, and how she had later passed away. I told him his father had never even known that Buddy was born, and most importantly, I told him where his father was, in a magical land called New York City.
My dad works there.
So, I hear you're going on a little journey to the big city.
Yep. Kind of nervous. Can't wait to see my dad. We're going to go ice skating and eat sugar plums.
Yeah, that's the other thing I wanted to talk to you about. You know, Buddy, your father, well, he's on the naughty list.
No! You're taking the books back?
See, I see what you're trying to do here. You're trying to make me feel bad when, in actuality, you're the one that missed the payments.
But the children love the books.
I know that. You know, I'm the one that ran the focus groups, but I like hearing that. Listen, some people, they just lose sight of what's important in life. That doesn't mean they can't find their way again, huh? Maybe all they need is just a little Christmas spirit.
Well, I'm good at that.
I know you are.
I'll always be here for you. And every time it rains, Panda's from heaven.
Shooby-dooby.
Don't you know each cloud contains Panda's from heaven?
Shooby-dooby.
You'll find your fortune falling all over town. Be sure that your umbrella is upside down. And trading for a package of sunshine and ravioli.
Macaroni.
If you want the thing you love.
You did it. Congratulations! World's best cup of coffee. Great job, everybody. It's great to meet you. Hi.
Come over here, boy. Sam. And every time it rains. And don't you know it's comforting? Every time it rains, don't you know it's comforting?
Sit.
All over town, all over town, all over town.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's upside down, we live up. Oh, how about those hills of white? Gigala mahungli. Zumbaloo the superoot. Oh, bubbly boys, oh, yeah, baba, ha, boy. Ooh, bada, ha, boy. Ooh, I knew I'd get you, I knew I'd get you. Let's go, let's go, let's go.
Get out of here.
And you'll find your fortune falling all over town. Yeah, Panda's from heaven. Panda's from heaven. Panda's from heaven for you and me.
You just bring them by and I'll see what I can do.
Excuse me. I'm here to see a Walter Hobbs.
Yeah.
Mr. Hobbs? It's me on the intercom.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think someone sent you a Christmas gram.
Dad! I walked all day and night to find you.
You look like you came from the North Pole.
Exactly where I came from. Santa must have called you.
Well, are you going to sing a song or something, or can I just go back to work?
A song? Yeah. Anything for you, Dad. I'm here with my dad, and we never met, and he wants me to sing him a song. And I was adopted, but you didn't know I was born. So I'm here now. I found you, Daddy. And guess what? I love you. I love you. I love you.
Well, that was weird.
It's okay. Walter's my father.
Well, your dad's busy right now.
Okay, I'll come back later.
Yeah, you know, you're not going to come back for a while, okay? You're going to go back to Sandland.
Okay.
Yeah, why don't you go back to Gimbel's?
So you'll probably notice a big difference between Buddy and his father. Buddy believes the best in people and that everything is fun. His dad doesn't believe in anything. He believes that everything is dull and just plain hard work. Ask yourself here today, am I living in my belief or am I living in my doubts? Well, the answer to that question would depend on what your life is like. There are some people that feel that life is determined by what happens to them. Joy comes when things are in life are going really well. The problem with that kind of a joy is that it's based on earthly realities and not a godly one. Joy from God transcends our earthly circumstances. It doesn't matter what we face in life. Joy can be a constant in our lives. So ask yourselves this today. Have I stopped believing? And you'll know if you've begun to stop believing, because there's usually three symptoms that associate that unbelief. First is that first thing is exhaustion. You know why? Because you're not depending on God, but you're depending on yourself, and that will wear us out. Some of you have stopped praying, stopped trusting, and now you're just carrying all the weight of life on your own shoulders. Another symptom of unbelief is emptiness. You just feel like something's missing. The reason for that is that we're spiritual beings. And when we just focus on the physical side of our life, we leave a huge void in our lives. We need to believe again. The last symptom is that of unbelief produces enslavement. See, this is the most serious because you have an enemy that's trying to get you to doubt God. The devil would love to enslave you into a new reality, one that doesn't believe in anything. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, "This is the victory that we have overcome the world, even our faith." My hope for you today is that you would simply that you would have faith, that you would believe again, not in Santa, of course, but in God. Buddy believed in Santa because he met him, he knew him. And because of that, you couldn't convince Buddy otherwise. No one could keep him from what he believed in.
Sorry. Sorry.
Passion fruit spray?
Fruit spray? Sure. Sorry. Sorry. You want to go?
Hey, have you seen these toilets? They're ginormous.
Wow. What's this?
This is the North Pole.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Where's the snow?
Why are you smiling like that?
I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite.
Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God! Santa here? I know him. I know him.
He'll be here to take pictures with all the children.
Yeah.
Just keep your receipts. 10 a.m. tomorrow.
10 a.m. tomorrow.
Santa's coming to town.
Yes.
Can you sign this for me?
Oh, hi. Santa's coming.
Are you enjoying the view?
You are very good at decorating that tree.
Why are you messing with me? Did Krampa put you up to this?
I'm not messing with you. It's just nice to meet another human who shares my affinity for elf culture.
I'm just trying to get through the holidays.
Get through? Christmas is the greatest day in the whole wide world!
Please stop talking to me.
Uh-oh. Sounds like someone needs to sing a Christmas carol.
No way.
Best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
Thanks, but I don't sing.
Well, it's easy. It's just like talking, except louder and longer, and you move your voice up and down.
I can sing, but I just choose not to sing. Especially in front of other people.
Well, if you sing alone, you can sing in front of other people. There's no difference.
Actually, there's a big difference.
No, there isn't. Wait. I'm singing. I'm in a store and I'm singing. I'm in a store and I'm singing.
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
Yes, there is.
No, it's not.
We sing all the time.
No, it's not.
Especially when we make toys.
So, Buddy reveals a huge secret to our faith and our ability to believe. And that is the power of worship, singing. Throughout the movie, you hear the line, "The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear." And that is true. Every time I stand in church and I lift my voice together with all of you, I feel my faith energized and refreshed. From time to time, I feel discouraged, usually when my mountains seem bigger than my God. You see, worship can be said another way, worth-ship. See, we begin to ascribe worth and value either to God or to our problems. If we focus on our problems, we begin to give them worth. The challenge for us all is ascribing value and worth to God in the face of our problems, making God bigger than our mountains. Psalm 149 says that our worship to God is like a two-edged sword in our hand. Worship defeats the enemy, and it releases our faith to believe once again. I would encourage you to make time in your day, every day, to worship God. Make it a habit, because we always have challenges in life. But when we live a life of worship, it helps us to keep a heavenly perspective on all things. A perspective where God is truly bigger than our problems, not the other way around. It happens to the best of us, as it would for Buddy the Elf. And for the first time in his life, he too would begin to doubt.
Love him, and I don't care who knows it.
Buddy, not now. Can you please go back to the pit? I'll come visit you in a little while, okay?
I didn't know you had elves working here.
Boy, you're hilarious, my friend.
He doesn't. Get back to the story, please.
Does Santa know that you left the workshop?
You know, we're all laughing our heads off.
Did you have to borrow a reindeer to get down here?
Buddy, go back to the basement.
Hey, you're feeling strong, my friend? Call me Elf one more time.
He's an angry elf. Look at you! Ow! Hey, what the hell? I wasn't ready for that.
Whoa! Call me Elf one more time. Call me Elf.
You're an elf.
He thinks he's an elf. Listen, Miles. Listen, Miles.
He must be a South Pole elf.
You get the hell out of here.
Where do you want me to go?
I don't care where you go. I don't care that you're an elf. I don't care that you're nuts. I don't care that you're my son. Get out of my life. Now.
I'm sorry I ruined your lives and crammed 11 cookies into the VCR.
I don't belong here. I don't belong anywhere. I'll never forget you. Love, Buddy.
Sad scene for far too many of us that can relate to it. Conflict is always difficult, but it's even more painful when it's between you and someone that you love. Satan does his best to orchestrate attacks on us to doubt God. He's trying to create a moment in your life that would cause you to abandon your faith and beliefs. We can all think of moments when we've had to make that decision on whether or not we were going to believe or to give up. Perhaps it was a tragedy that struck in your life, or friends who tried to pressure you into making a bad decision. Could have been a bad decision that you feel convicted about and feel convinced that God couldn't forgive you for it. It doesn't matter what it is. The bottom line is that the enemy of your soul is trying to destroy your faith, and he does it with a moment, a defining moment. It's important to realize today that God wants to draw you back to himself but he also uses these defining moments in our lives. With Moses, it was a burning bush. With Paul, it was a bright light. For most of us, it's something much simpler than that, but it's still a moment where we knew that God was dealing with us, a moment for us to believe once again. We've been praying that God would give you that moment, even if it takes using a silly little Christmas movie about an elf to get you to believe again, to know that God is real and that he loves you today. No matter how bad life gets, there's always a moment for us to believe again.
Santa? Santa!
Back off, Slick. This guy's a deer.
Buddy, is that you?
Are you okay?
The clausometer suddenly just dropped down to zero. There's just no Christmas spirit anymore. The strain was too much. The engine broke free of her mounts. I need an elf's help.
I'm not an elf, Santa. I can't do anything right.
Buddy, you're more of an elf than anyone I ever met. And the only one who I would want working on my sleigh tonight.
Really?
Really? Will you fix it for me, buddy?
I'll try. Hey! You found it!
Buddy!
I need to tell you something.
Buddy, there's something I have to tell you right now. I didn't mean anything I said back there, not a word. I know you may be a little chemically imbalanced, but you've been right about a lot of things. I don't want you to leave. You're my son, and I love you.
Come with me.
It's him, it's the real Santa. His sleigh won't fight because nobody believes in him.
Did you see something in the park?
Everyone out there, Santa needs us to believe. I can prove he's real. Look, this is his list.
Okay, well, further confirmation that there has been a Santa sighting tonight. We have the naughty and nice list.
Lee Kessler wants a Powerpuff Girls placement. Mogueber wants an electric guitar. Yes. Carolyn Reynolds wants a Susie Talks a Lot.
Thanks, buddy.
Hey, Michael, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Buddy, he's in the park with Santa. The sleigh won't fly because there's no Christmas spirit.
Pull, Dasher! I'm getting too old for this job.
Now!
Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
He sees you when you're sleeping.
He knows when you're awake.
He knows if you've been bad or good.
So be good for goodness sake.
Oh, you better watch out.
You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why.
Well, still no sign of Santa, but some spontaneous Christmas caroling has broken out right here in front of Central Park. Let's have a listen in.
When you're sleeping. He knows if you're awake.
He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake.
Hey! Watch out.
You better not pout. I'm telling you why.
Come on!
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Just a little more!
You're not singing.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not. You're just moving your lips.
Michael, please, why
What's the big deal?
Dad?
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Oh, so in the end, Buddy the Elf influenced the world around him. Everyone became a believer and it changed their life. Well, obviously, our goal here today isn't to get you to believe in Santa, but to get you to believe in God. And when you believe, your life will change. So the question is how? How do I believe again? The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. The Message Bible says in verse 11, no one who trusts God like this, heart and soul, will ever regret it. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, I'd like to pray a prayer, and then we're going to ask the worship team to come forward, and we're going to respond in worship. Lord Jesus, I pray that faith will rise in this place today. Reveal yourself to every single person here, man, woman, and child. In this moment, Lord, we pray that you would let them know that you are the true and the living God. Let this be a defining moment that changes their life forever. Amen. I know that many of you have gone through something that's rocked your faith and challenged your ability to trust in people, to trust in the church, and to trust in God. I want to give you the opportunity today to believe again, to believe that Jesus came and died on a cross for you and for me, that with his life, he paid the price for our salvation. Because of Jesus, we can have this everlasting life. It's not about us and what we do, good or bad. It's not about living a life in a way that we could earn such favor with God. We couldn't do it on our own. It's all because of Jesus, and all we have to do is believe. So as we respond in worship, as we spread a little hope and joy and belief through our voices, ascribing worth to God, would you take this time to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to your life? To speak to that relationship that may need healing, or to speak to that area of unbelief that keeps creeping up. You know, my pastor, Pastor Sam Rockwell, who founded this church, was known for saying all the time, you can live in your doubt and visit your faith, or you can live in your faith and allow doubt to visit sometimes. Today, let's be a people that ascribe our faith to God, that the world would know that God is alive. Amen. Let's worship him. Well, Father, I do just start by confessing that the worst day in following you is better than any day without you. We declare that life in Jesus is just better. It's more full. It's full of abundant life as you have promised. But maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Chad, I've been going through some stuff. I've had some challenges going on in my life, and I've allowed that to sneak doubt into my heart. Can I just say today is your day. It's an opportunity for you to believe once again. We all struggle with doubt. We all do. But the great part is that Jesus is the one that secures our salvation. Jesus is the one that gives us the opportunity to have hope and faith in him. And so if you're here today and you would say, Pastor Chad, I would like to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, we want to give you that opportunity. We pray this prayer all the time around this place. And so today, whether you're praying it for the first time or the 50th time, I want you to pray it like it's your first time. Let's be a people who believe God, who believe his word, who believe that he's doing a work in us and through us in such a way that when we go out there, people notice. They take notice of the hope and the joy and the faith that we carry. Let us be known as a people who get asked, why you smile so much? Right? Let's be those people. Amen? Amen. Let's pray a prayer. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. Come on, let me hear you. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and that you rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name we pray and we trust. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, if the Lord's doing something good in your life, can we give him a clap? Applause. Thank you, Jesus. So good to us. Miss Lori Romero, can you bring me one of those? Hey, if you did say yes to Jesus for the very first time today, I would love to meet you. I'd love to just give you a little gift that we call a yes packet. And if it looks new to you, it is. Everybody go, ooh. Huh? Hey, inside of it's just some resources for you. There's a Bible, there's some next steps, and there's a couple of new growth opportunities, some new groups that we're launching here at North Rock to help you get started in your journey with Jesus. Okay, so if you said yes to Jesus for the very first time today, I would love to meet you. One of the pastors on staff would love to meet you. But also, if there's any area in your life that we can pray with you about, any place that Jesus can bring healing and hope, we want to pray with you, okay? Well, God bless you guys. I hope you have an awesome week. Thank you for coming out to North Rock for At the Movies. Guys.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.